Hi, this is Richard Garfield with The Game Glimpse, where I drone on and on about a game that's on my mind. I'll tell you what interests me in the game, and perhaps tie that into games in general. Maybe I'll tell a story from my experiences. But for now, let the droning begin. Today I'm going to talk about the game Crokinole. Crokinole is a physical game which involves flicking discs on a surface. So you might think of shuffleboard or marbles or the game caroms. I'm told the game is a Canadian game, and according to Wikipedia, it originated in Canada. It plays well with two players head-to-head, and it plays very well with two teams of two. Players sit around a circular board, which is about a yard across, and take turns flicking wooden discs. The discs must be shot from a region at the edge of the circle, and you get more points for getting the disc close to the center. There's a 5-point region, a 10-point region, a 15-point region, and if you get the disc in a little hole in the middle, that scores 20 points and the disc is removed immediately. There's 8 little pegs surrounding the 15-point circle, which provide for possibilities of ricochets and protecting your pieces. For me, the most interesting rule in Crokinole, the one that made me fall in love with the game immediately, was that if there is an opponent's piece on the board, you have to hit the opponent's piece. If the opponent has a piece on the board and your piece does not hit an opponent's piece, then your piece is removed, put in the gutter, which is a little ring around the outside of the board. The rule that forces you to hit an opponent's piece or your piece is removed from the board is very interesting. One effect that will be immediately apparent to people who study games is that this gives an apparent catch-up feature. That is, if you have a lot of pieces on the board, your opponents have a lot of targets, and your pieces at the same time are hindering your ability to hit the few pieces that your opponents have on the board. So the bigger your footprint, the more at a disadvantage you are. It also gives a lot of interesting decisions throughout the game. Is it better to take a risky shot, which could knock an opponent's 15-point piece off the board, or should you take an easy shot, which will hit a 5-point piece of theirs? Also, just like in pool, where you leave the cue ball is very important, in Crokinole, where you leave your pieces is very important because those become the targets for your opponent. So you want to have them in places that are hard to hit, protected by the bumpers, set up in a such a way that it's inconvenient for the opponents. There are large swings possible in the game. If your opponent has pieces on the board and you don't hit one of their pieces, then all the pieces of yours that moved are put into the gutter. This makes for some very exciting shot. If you have no direct way to hit a piece of the opponent, but can hit it by bouncing off of one of your own pieces, well, that can be pretty risky. You might lose more than one of your pieces. More than once, I've intentionally just shot one of my pieces into the gutter because I feel a shot at the opponent's piece carries with it too much risk. Another somewhat subtle thing I like about Crokinole is the way the scoring works. At the end of a round, after players have shot all 12 of their pieces, both sides add up their score, and then the smaller one is subtracted from the larger one. So one player scores 0, and the other player scores the difference between their scores. That is, if I score 10 points and you score 15, then at the end of the round, you actually get 5 points and I get 0. This seems simple enough. Why is it a good thing? Well, it's nice to have one side very likely to score 0. In Crokinole, it's 100% of the time, because that allows for catch-up in a series of hands. Consider the alternative. Suppose each player simply scored their pieces. Well, then when one player gets up to 95, the game is to 100, all they have to do is finish with a 5-point piece on the board. And that's not going to be nearly as hard as finishing with more points on the board than the opponent. Whenever I design a game which involves multiple hands with scores at the end of each round, I consider zeroing out the scores like this, or at least adding events that can be strived for where the opponents score 0. An excellent example of this is Mike Fitzgerald's Mystery Rummy games. In Mystery Rummy, everybody's got a good chance of scoring some points every round, except that he's added events which you can strive for, which are called shutout events, and then the opponents score nothing. This means that no matter how far you fall behind, you can always catch up by scoring a string of shutout events. Table games that require physical skill are not all that common, but they can be a lot of fun. When I was growing up, my family had a bunch of games which involved physical skill, from the almost totally random Skittles to games which are much more skill-based, like Caroms. Oftentimes, the pieces in these games are very attractive so that they can look good sitting out, and playing the game can be exciting for onlookers. They can be great spectator games. Some players are intimidated by physical games like these, seeing them as being too skill-based. They feel that if other people have played them, that surely they're going to destroy them. And with some physical games, that is a risk. It's unlikely you're going to do too well in pool against some people who've played a bunch of pool. To mitigate that to some degree with Crokinole when somebody hasn't played, we let them take back most of their shots until they get one that actually hits an opponent's piece and so therefore is legal. So if they shoot too soft or just miss and end up in the gutter, we let them take their move back again and again and again. And usually by the second or third game, we've cut back on that and they're playing the full game. Another thing that helps with Crokinole is that it's best as a team game. So if you've got some weaker players, some players who haven't played before, you can usually balance the team so that the best players are carrying them along. I think for most groups, people will be up to speed and love the game really quickly. Although, if you want to see how good you can get, try searching on YouTube for Crokinole Championships or Crokinole Trick Shots, and you'll see plenty of videos of people you don't want to play against. If Crokinole sounds interesting to you, you'll almost certainly like it and it's worth checking out. If it doesn't sound interesting to you, and you get the opportunity, you may want to check it out anyway because you might be surprised. I got my copy online. It cost a couple $100 and took a couple years to get here, which I think the couple years must be aberrant. My friend Chip was appalled by the length of time and price, and so he decided to make his own. It took him over a year to make his, and I think it cost him over $200 in material. But he has the most beautiful Crokinole set you'll ever see, with brass poles and inlaid turquoise. And now it's time for the kids' turn. Do you like Crokinole?
No, I don't. I love it!
Do you think it's better as a game where you're playing by yourself or with a team?
I think it's a little better by yourself.
Really? I kind of like it with a team.
Yeah, team is fun, but see, the good part about having no team is that you get to flick more pucks into oblivion.
Ah, okay. What do you call it when you put a puck into the center hole?
Headshot!
Okay. What's your favorite rule in the game?
Where you have to keep one butt cheek on the stool at all times, or whatever you're sitting on.
I forgot about that. And that's it. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Game Glimpse. Feel free to leave any comments you have. If you want to suggest any games, you can do that too. Maybe your game will be the next one I glimpse.
See, the good part about having no team is that you get to flick more pucks into oblivion.